Of the W.
This podcast is meant for April the 13th, which is Friday the 13th. And of course, it brings us to our special weekly episode, What a Vaca.
What a Vaca.
And you could always reach us at vofthew.com, or you could go directly to our Facebook page at Vaca of the World. And you could always reach Art at Art the Podcaster on Twitter for anything that you would like to know. And brother, how's the weekend going so far?
Weekend's going good, man. I took the kids to a Minecraft convention because they're into that.
Right.
And it was actually your suggestion, which we took. And I took them. It was pretty cool. You know, they did the whole spiel, you know, costume competition. And they had a lot of little gadgets they were pushing there and stuff.
Right.
But really the highlight of that was afterwards, I was with my in-laws. And I was like, well, where are we going to go eat? And I wanted to go somewhere I hadn't been before. So we decided to go to Grand Central Market.
Oh, okay.
Have you been?
Yes. Yes.
I know for you, it's a force, but for me, it's not.
Yeah. How did you like it?
Oh, man. I recommend you go, and if you haven't had the there's a ramen place there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vegan ramen place.
Okay.
And it's called Ramen Hood.
Oh, nice.
Which is a cool name to begin with, right?
Yeah.
And man, it's all vegan.
Uh-huh.
So they don't use any meat or anything, and even their broth is made with sunflower seeds.
Oh, okay.
And man, I was blown away, man. It was so freaking good.
Oh, good.
And the reason why what sparked my interest was the line I saw there for that place, man, was crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fuck it, I'm here. I went to Wexler's and grabbed a pastrami sandwich.
Right.
And which was awesome because they offer it just the way I like, which is they cut their pastrami thick. It's got a nice deep bark on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer it just pastrami on rye with yellow mustard. Boom.
Nice. Nice. That's it.
And so I had that, and I tried some carnitas from a Mexican joint there.
Yeah.
That was great. I know you don't like the pork, but it was good.
Good.
And then the fucking bro, the ramen though, man.
How long did it take for you to get through the line?
Probably about an hour for the ramen line, man. But you know, meanwhile, I had eaten my pastrami, and I had a chicken sandwich there as well that I had, and so I was good.
Yeah,
it's not like I was starving, you know.
Yeah, so when you start starving, the experience gets ruined because you have to wait and you have to deal with idiots as well.
Right, not the case here, man. I mean, I had already eaten some, so I was kind of full already, but I couldn't pass it up.
Right, right. Hey, and the thing about those conventions is they have pretty cool freebies sometimes. Were they giving out anything free?
Not really. I mean, little pins and stickers and shit like that.
Right. Okay.
But nothing. Nothing great, really. But I mean, that was for the kids.
Right.
That was for the kids. They had a good time, and then the food was for me.
Right, of course. The payout.
Yeah, the payout. Would you? I know your diet's pretty particular right now. Would you be able to eat ramen?
No, but I did have a pastrami from DeFranco's, and it was actually very good. What's funny is that it's on Italian bread. So Italian bread not only has the Italian herbs on it and the sesame seeds, but it's harder. And the nice thing about that is, you know, it comes with pickles, onions, and tomatoes, and the pastrami is cut with it's a thinner slice, and then it has oil and vinegar and all of that good stuff as well. The yeah. nice thing about it is that because it's on an Italian roll, the bread doesn't get soggy, which is important for me. I just don't like soggy bread. And the interesting part was that, you know, back in my heyday, I could eat an entire, they have two sizes. They have the regular foot long.
Yeah.
And then they have a mini one. And back in the day, I could have a foot long myself along with a mini. And, you know, the mini, I would get a peppered steak. But this time, my wife and I split a foot long, and it was more than enough, man. It was
really,
yeah. It was actually a lot. It was when I finished eating it, I was actually sick because it was too much food. But it was good too, man. It was just nice to be able to eat, just enough to be able to eat it, taste it, and get it out of my system, because I've been wanting that for some time.
Have you had the pastrami at Wexler's?
I had it years ago, but I like a submarine rather than a sandwich.
Really? You've always liked the deli, man. We always go to Cantor's and
yes, when it comes to deli sandwiches, you know, roast beef, Reubens and all of that, I do enjoy the sandwich. But if I had a choice, I would always do a roll rather than sandwich bread.
Wow.
Yeah, always. Always, always, always. And even if I have this place, DeFranco's, has great cold cut sandwich, and they have a great tuna as well.
I'm weird about ordering tuna out. I don't really, something about it just seems like I'm asking for a heaping trip to the bathroom if I eat a tuna sandwich anywhere.
It is true. It is very, very true. It is a gamble, and a lot of times you are playing with intestinal roulette when it comes to that. And you don't necessarily know. But my all-time favorite, like, cold sandwich that I could have is always egg salad.
Oh, egg really?
Salad. Yeah, egg salad is my thing, but I know you don't like eggs.
Well, yeah, I'm opening up to eggs, actually. Yeah. I realized that it was I was missing out on a lot of good shit because of it, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll eat like scrambled eggs. I'll eat like a burger with an egg on it.
Yeah, cracked egg.
I could do that. I can't do like a hard boiled egg yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not grossed out by it anymore, and so I can try it. You know, I can't have a meal where it's the star of the meal.
Right, it's just a compliment or something.
Yeah, but if it's a compliment, and yeah. You know, I can enjoy it. I can enjoy it that way.
Well, we gotta try DeFranco's, so you could give that a try, because Wexler's.
I'd love that. Yeah, man, I think you should go back to Wexler's, and the reason why is because you don't get this heaping. Their sandwich is not like a mile high sandwich or anything like that.
The thicker cut is what I remember, because that's what I like, a thick.
Yeah. And they give you coleslaw on the side.
Right.
You can either choose coleslaw or potato salad. They give it to you on the side so it doesn't make your sandwich soggy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I don't like about sandwiches. That's why, when you go to a deli, I have to have it right there. I can't like say, hey, let's go to the park and take it to the park.
Yeah.
Because like 5 minutes of it just like seeping, and then you get the bread that starts tearing on up on you. That's what grosses me. It actually grosses me out.
I totally understand that because my wife packs my lunches. She'll
Yeah.
make sandwiches, and during the summer she'll throw like a ice pack in there,
Oh,
to keep it cool.
yeah.
And so one side of the sandwich will be like basically wet.
Yeah.
And I do get that like grossed out feeling, but I w when eating at work, I'm eating just for sustenance. I'm not eating
Right.
to enjoy it. So
Yeah,
I can put it down.
Yeah, now when we go to DeFranco's, you'll see the bread. We'll order minis, so you could have one regular bread and one harder bread. And what's interesting is my father doesn't like DeFranco's because of the bread. He likes the submarine bread, which is more of a softer bread,
Yeah.
bread. But yeah, I only like cold cuts on light bread. I don't like the warmer meats on it. So.
I can respect that. I can respect that, even though I'm a huge sandwich snob.
Yeah.
I love like I can go both ways. I like the hot sandwich or the cold sandwich. The
Right.
hot sandwich though, what I don't like if I'm getting a hot sandwich, some places will still put like lettuce and veggies and stuff with my
Right.
sandwich.
Right.
And yeah, I can't enjoy it. I can't enjoy that. I need it to be like if I'm getting like a Philly cheesesteak,
Right.
even sometimes the green onions on
The
the
peppers.
bell pep the peppers on there is too much. Like
Right.
they because they've already began to kind of like wilt,
Right.
I'm turned off by it. So I'll order it just the cheese and the steak.
When I was in the Philippines, that was the hardest part for me, because sandwiches to me is very important. And that was one of the foods I missed the most. And in the Philippines, when I would have a sandwich or something like that, either my wife at that time or my mother-in-law would make me an additional food, because they didn't think it was substance enough. They thought it was just like a little kid's snack. So they would give me like some other stuff, and I'm like, no, this is what I want. They couldn't understand it. And actually, the subway in the Philippines absolutely sucks, man. I thought I went, well, Subway, how messed up can you make processed meat and all of that. And dude, they fucked it up really good. Really, really good.
Is it all, do they try to use all the same ingredients, or is it like McDonald's where like every country has their own menu?
Here's the thing, it looked exactly like a Subway, and if you think about it, how different can it be? Red onions, white onions, shredded lettuce, tomato, it all looks the same. And if you think about Subway, I mean, it's really not a really, I mean, out of all the fast foods, it's one of my favorites, just because I like sandwiches. But the reality is, it's not a good sandwich. It
No,
really
it's not. It's not.
sucks. And a lot of the reason that it does taste good is because it's refreshing when it's hot, And then the vegetables along with the condiments make finish it off. I mean, it's funny that you would think that the last thing that would matter would be the vegetables, but yeah, man, just go to the Philippines and you'll find out how good fucking Subway is in the US.
You're right. I mean, Subway is like a last resort for me.
Right.
I'd much rather go to like a Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's, Jimmy John's, or
something.
I mean, for me, I'd rather even go to Ralph's. Ralph's makes good. Hold on. Ralph's makes good sandwiches.
You know what? You're right. I not Ralph's, but I've been to Vaughn's to their deli.
Yeah.
And they actually make a good sandwich, man.
Because they use that boar's head.
They use the boar's head, and they bake their bread fresh there.
Right.
So right. Yeah, it's actually a good option to go to go there. But I mean, back to Wexler's, man. You'll love it. Yeah. We have to go. And I was gonna call you, but I was with my in-laws, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, when it starts going to Grand Central Market, if I'm not there in the morning, like there's no way in hell I go there after like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Really? Why?
Just too many people. Just too many people.
You know what? It wasn't bad. I mean, I was worried about that because we didn't end up going till like probably like around 3 or 4.
Right.
And I was like, oh fuck, I've been around all these people all day at this convention.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to leave from here and go to another whole, like, you know, group of people. I was getting kind of like, oh, this sucks, right? But I show up. I park. They have a parking structure right across the street. I park there. There was plenty of parking. I get out. I go in. And I guess it's because I had got there, like, before the dinner time rush.
Right.
It was actually pretty perfect, man. I mean, the only place that really had a line was the ramen and McConnell's, the ice cream place there.
Okay, yeah, because that's pretty cheap too.
Well, McConnell's was amazing ice cream, man. Have you ever had ice cream there?
Yeah,
man.
I'm always for Didi Reese. I don't know if you remember when.
Man, that was pretty fucking fantastic. The cookies, huh?
Yeah, that's my thing over there. And then, just being in Westwood, I love Westwood. Just being around there, the UCLA hotties and. A different type of crowd.
Well, of course, you like the Asian community, and there's a lot of Asians that go to the UCLA, you know?
Exactly. Plus, it's clean, you know, where LA, I mean, the Grand Central is clean. When I was a kid, they had it at a different location, and holy shit, man, you'd be like walking around when I was a kid, and I was afraid I'd get a fucking shiv down my neck.
But, you thought it was that's what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like Olvera Street or something, you know?
No, they moved it over, they did a really nice job. A lot of the old stores that were in the old place closed, but Wexler's and Connell's and the other stores, there's like three or other, maybe more than that. But they moved over and they actually became a little more respectable than before. So.
Oh, they're great! It was great that the people that were there, like, was you know, it wasn't ghetto at all, man. The people there were, you know, the hipsters, kind of hipster crowd. Yeah. And everybody there was that foodie community. You could tell everybody there was just wanting to get some good food. So I appreciated it. It was good, man. It was good. We will do it. We will do it soon. So who's our first Waravaca?
Well, you know, for our first candidates, we have a group of morons, actually. We go to the wonderful country of Argentina. Mm. And there were 8 officers in Argentina who claimed that rats ate more than half a ton of marijuana that went missing. So they blamed the rats. They blamed the rats, and they said, "Oh, the rats ate a half a ton of marijuana." Obviously, nobody bought that, you know. And the Argentine government went in on these guys, and they went ahead and fired them, man. Fired them for being stupid, and you know, they kept their ruse up by saying, like, no, the rats ate it. No, rats ate it. And pot ingested for rodents would be lethal. And of course, if the rats did eat it, they would have found bodies or decomposing or anything like that. Of course, nobody found any of that.
Yeah.
So these 8 Argentinian bastards who probably sold a half a ton of marijuana, we say,
what a vaca. What a bunch of vacas.
The second guy I want to talk to you about, I know that this is a little bit before your time, but when we were growing up, and I know that we would go to the arcade store down by where you lived. But man, you know, arcade games, I grew up on that. And there's a guy, okay, his name is Billy Mitchell, and this guy is one of the top players of arcades in the world. He, back in the heyday, he was like Michael Jordan, like LeBron, more like a Wilt Chamberlain. He held records in Donkey Kong and in Centipede. I mean, this guy was the shit, man. He played the most games. He had the highest scores. And this guy was the best, man. And if you look at him today, he still has his mullet going.
Yeah.
Other stuff. And he ran up the score on Donkey Kong. I believe Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
But he ran up the game on there, on Donkey Kong. And his score was invalidated. It seemed he used a motherboard that was quicker, that sped up the game a little bit, and speeding up the game would be a huge physical challenge. I mean, advantage to it.
Right.
So this guy was caught juicing, man.
Juicing arcade games.
Juicing on arcade games.
Hey, and a cheater is a cheater, man. I mean, he should be dealt with harsh discipline in that community.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you get caught. And this dude got caught. What's interesting to note here is that I reached out to him, and he's been known to do just calls and podcasts and shit like that. And it'll be funny to see if this guy would entertain coming on BFW. So more yet to come. But to Billy Mitchell, who caught for cheating on Donkey Kong, we say,
what a vaca.
What a vaca. And my third and final what a vaca would go to, let me just kind of tell you this ahead of time.
All right.
If I were to tell you Brazzers, what does that mean to you?
The porn site, of course.
Okay. And what does a porn site to you mean? Like in your sense, what does that mean? Like what makes Brazzers different than any other porn site?
Well, they do a lot of like POV stuff. They do
right.
A lot of like picking chicks up off the street.
Right.
Taxi cab stuff.
Right.
You know, just hardcore porn.
So if you ask me, just based on my connoisseur of porn,
mm-hmm.
I would say that it's stuff that is hardcore. It's a little more demeaning than the actress. I would definitely say it's more misogynistic. There's more force. Even though we know that it's an act, It's a much rougher porn site.
Yeah. On a side note, what bothers me with some of their stuff is because they'll claim, for instance, they go into a pawn store, right?
Right.
And there's a chick that's like trying to pawn, like a hot chick walks in and she's trying to pawn something, and then right. You know they reel her in by trying to give her money and make her do some sexual acts, right?
Right.
What will bother me is when they actual porn star to do it, and I know right. I've seen her before.
Right.
The illusion is then gone, so it ruins it for me.
The thing about porn, especially when it comes to this type of porn, to me, it's more about a storyline. It's almost like wrestling, right? You do know that it is kind of a setup. You do know that it is, you know, a little bit. And the reality is that the porn circuit, and this is just me talking out of experience working within the industry, is that there is no such thing as amateurs anymore. There's people who break in all of that, but the reality of an amateur is really gone. So and because you know, of testing and HIV status and stuff like that, there's really no way that you could get any porn that is truly amateur. Now there's places where you get newbies and all of that, and they specialize in that, but the reality is the girls aren't as amateurs as much as you think. They've done shit in the past. They've gone to the strippers circuits and stuff like that.
What about Tumblr?
Well, when it comes to Tumblr, you know, those are people showing their, you know, like people who are showing themselves off, right?
Right, right.
But a lot of the videos that you see as amateurs are really tryouts, really, you know, the pictures are different than the actual videos that they come up with. So a lot of times, even like a 18-year-old amateur just turned 18, right, something like that. A lot of times, companies don't mess around with 18-year-olds. They officially want to work with 19-year-olds just because of legal reasons. I don't care what they say. It's a huge risk to, and it's one of the most monitored industries when it comes to like child pornography and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of the times where they say that I just turned 18 and I did this and I did that, it's bullshit. Usually they're 19 or they're dressed up to do it.
Well, of course I get that, but I'm saying I kind of stay away from the you know, XXXNX and Brazzers and all those different right. sites based right. on because I like the amateur stuff better. So I go on Tumblr. You turned me on to Tumblr. So then now yeah. I'm on Tumblr, and now I seek.
I personally, I don't like Brazzers myself, just because, again, to me, it's like glorified wrestling. And I said, hey, you know, leave the wrestling results to the wrestlers and the porn to the porn. I personally like the stuff that you're talking, that, you know, we've always talked and we always share, which is the Tumblr stuff.
Right.
And I guess for me, it's still the illusion of them being amateurs.
Right.
Or me not knowing who the hell they are.
Yeah. You know, like if I see Stormy Daniels, I get nothing from that. I get nothing from that.
So, anyways,
yeah.
So this girl, so my whole point is, when you think of Brazzers, you think about something that's hardcore.
Right.
Something that is, even though it's scripted, it's supposed to give a different story. And okay. It's usually more misogynistic, more powerful.
Of course.
More demeaning and shit like that. So
the good stuff.
We have this girl. Her name is Nikki Benz.
Yeah, I know her.
She's 36. She filed a $5 million lawsuit against Brazzers.
What?
And she said she was reportedly a victim of violence of actions that were off script. Okay. So she claims that this director, Tony T, and this guy named Ramon Nomar, she said that Tony choked her and she had her head stomped by Nomar as well.
So I haven't heard anything wrong yet. Now, what is it? What is it that she's complaining about exactly?
So they were also talking about she was also waterboarded by having her underwear stuffed in her mouth while water was poured down her throat, causing her to choke.
All right.
So she claims that she was hit to the point that she was bleeding from the head, breast, and face.
Hmm.
So she also accuses this guy Tony of touching her without consent. So, I don't know how the hell that happens in a porn shoot, but this has been something that this actress has kept since 2016.
Mm.
Now my thing is more like how quickly the political climate has turned. That in 2 years, like she kept this in 2016. If she would have come out with this in 2016, they would have said, "Hey, you bonehead, you're taping for Brazzers. You know what the hell's going on? Of course you're gonna get touched. Of course you're gonna get stomped. I'm guessing, of course you're gonna do this and that and all of this other stuff."
Right.
And in 2 years' time, the political climate has changed to where she feels like now she has a case. Where she could claim, you know, that she wasn't safe in the workplace.
Good Lord. Porn, you know, that is come on. This is ridiculous. These, you got to know your workplace. You know what I'm saying? There used to be a time.
Right.
Where a whore would know she was a whore. And, right. They knew the risks of being a whore, you know?
Right.
So they were like, okay. It's a rough gig. I get paid pretty well.
Whatever she gets paid was something that she agreed to do that. And we know that the content of this website specialized in a little harder stuff.
Well, okay, here's for me, this would be a case closed situation, okay?
Right.
If you go and look at her if you look at her other videos, right, and you see that all her other videos, she never partakes in any of that, right?
Right.
Then maybe she's got a little bit of a case. I mean, it's still stupid, but at least maybe she could say, "Hey, look at all my other stuff. It's basically Cinemax."
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, I show up and I'm doing this shit. And I didn't want to. Okay.
Right.
But if I go and I look up her history and I see that it's something she's done with other guys,
crying.
Case closed. She's just trying to make some money.
Yeah. Not only that. What a lot of people don't understand is that a porn shoot is not just a dude just showing up there and just laying wood. You know, it's not like that. There's a production value to it, to a point where if you ever saw a porn getting made, you would, you know, unless you're somebody like me who is a connoisseur of these things,
right?
You would really hate the whole process, because it is such a automated process where a guy is like, okay, like, look, give me 5 pumps, stop, and then they have to rig a new setup, they have to rig a new camera angle. You know, it's not just one shot. Everything else is put in editing. I mean, just like any other production.
Right.
There has to be, you know, it's not a continuous shot. You know, it's not like it is a movie and it is a production. So there would have been multiple times where the director would have had to say cut. And you know, they're always checking up on the girls. I mean, they're always saying like, hey, you know, am I pushing too hard? Can you give me, you know, a sense of communication?
Do you want me to take the bowling pin out of your ass?
Exactly. They're always talking. It's really a when people say like, oh, well, you know, porn stars, they're not actresses or anything like that. Hell no. I mean, it is a real sin. I mean, you can't say, you know, this porn, you know, is the voice of a generation or something like that, which you would say on a Scorsese film or something.
Right. I mean, they're not, you know,
right.
You know, they're not it's not Dakota Fanning out there.
Exactly. But they're talking to each other. They're saying, hey, you know what? Maybe if you come in with this camera angle here, with this camera angle.
It is a professional setting, is what you're trying to say.
It is a professional setting where they're talking all the time. It's to the point where if you think of a person's body, whether you're male or female or anything like that, if you think about it, if you ever really think about the next time you're involved in having sex, the way your balls slap, the way your ass puckers and all of that, that's a setup. There's times where even there's like the director comes in and realigns everything so it could be a perfect slap.
Mm.
You know, think about it. Like, when you're having sex, a lot of times you're like, oh shit, my balls are like scrunched up on this side.
Right.
All of that.
It's a lot of adjustment going on.
There's a lot of adjustment, and a lot of it is done by, what I mean by no consent, meaning like the guy is going at it. Here comes a director, a grip, or whoever. And sometimes even has to adjust the ball so it can start swinging correctly. All of that is part of the production.
It's part of the job. It's clearly part of the job.
It's given as a given, and it's an acceptable practice within the industry. So
you know what I'm thinking here? This is a classic case of she was a hot chick. I think I remember her, what she looks like, right? Hot chick, all of a sudden now she's kind of losing steam,
right?
She's because I must have been watching it for the past 10 years, I would imagine,
at least.
And so now she's not wanted anymore in that industry so much, you know.
Right, she's grinded out.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Now she's bitter. She wants some payback.
And again, how much has the social political environment changed that she feels confident that 2 years ago she didn't have a case and now she brings it up?
This whole Me Too movement is fucking up our porn, is what you're saying.
Yeah, not only that, it's one of these things that we've talked about, that the Me Too movement is one of the most important movements of our time. There is truth behind it. There are victims behind it. There are brave people who have endured horrible stories behind it. And these gravy trainers, and this woman, I would classify as a gravy trainer, is the perfect reason on why these movements lose steam and they lose power, because they get absorbed by somebody like this, who is just dumb. It's just a dumb argument.
So again, someone takes to Nikki Benz, we say, what a
vaca. Yeah.
Now I will add, I know that's your last what a vaca, but I need to add my own what a vaca.
That would be nice.
And the award for what a vaca goes to three individuals.
All right.
Being one of whom being myself.
Right.
The other, my brother, the Chino. And right. The other is Big E. We went to San Manuel. The casino. What really made us want to go is because they had a new Seinfeld slot machine.
Right.
And of course, we're huge, huge lovers of Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
And so we go. It's actually a cool machine. You could check it out online. It's a cool machine. You get to play a lot of the storylines. And we go and we say, hey, fuck it, let's play. In a matter of about 20 minutes, we drop $1 on that slot. 1-0. Wow. Collectively, you know, we were each like, oh, here's a 20, here's a 20, here's a, you know. But we wanted to that we just kept fucking losing. And then we realized, hey, we're being idiots, right? So then we left and then we started winning elsewhere. But we kept going back,
right?
And thinking, okay, well, let's go play that again. So we would win somewhere, go back there and lose,
right?
Take our ass whooping and leave again. And then once we were up again, we would say, hey, let's go back to Seinfeld,
right?
And so through the night, I would say we lost about $500 on that machine. And so to myself and my two brothers, I say,
what a vodka.
What a bunch of vacas.
What a bunch of vacas. Hey, so did you get to play the pole game?
We did not get to play the pole game. We did get to play the soup Nazi game. And
right.
You pick. They have like a bunch of soup containers out and you pick them. Like you get to select it. You touch the screen and you either win money. If you, you know, if you pick a Mulligatawny or something like that, one of the premier soups that he makes, boom, you win like a nice little jackpot, $50, $40, you know, $10, whatever.
Right.
And you keep playing as long as you don't get him. You don't pick the cup of soup that then makes you spin a wheel, and the wheel still gives you another opportunity to win more money.
Right.
Or if it lands on the soup Nazi, he says, "No soup for you," and you lose.
Now, I when you told me that you were going and you showed me the machine that is in question at this point.
Yeah.
It seems like there were like five or six mini games within the machine.
Well, what do you mean mini games? Well, it's different. Depending
there was a feat. It seems like there was the feat of strength.
Yeah. There's feats of strength. There's the soup Nazi. There is,
the Festivus Pole.
Yeah, there's also like randomly a character will come out like Elaine will come out and she'll do her get out, you know, like when she pushes somebody. So she'll go and she'll go to the reels that are spinning and she'll say, get out. And she pushes the reels and they expand. So you have more opportunity to win more.
Right.
Because there's more reels. And then George will come out and do like a clip from the show. And then that will give you some wilds. Kramer will come out and fucking, you know, light a cigar and you get some, you know, like stuff like that. So throughout, there's a bunch of little clips from the show.
Is there a Newman?
You know what? I saw no Newman. And I really wanted to see Frank Costanza do the Festivus, but right. I never got it, man. I mean, I couldn't dump any more.
You couldn't play. You didn't even get to do the poll, which is the hallmark of that.
I know. And you know what's funny is that we were playing. There's two machines next to each other, right?
Right.
There's two different slot machines next to each other. And they're the same. They're both Seinfeld machines, but it's just two of them, two separate machines. And we're sitting, we're playing, we lose $160. We get up, and next to it, there was a Simpsons machine. So we go to play Simpsons, and the next person that goes and sits down won like $250. Got to play.
Nah.
Yeah, they got to play the game, one of the games, and all this stuff. And we're like, fuck, man. So then they get up and leave. We sit back down and play some more. We lose. And then this big Mexican dude comes and sits down and starts playing. And we see that he started with $100 that he was playing with. Right. And we're like, let's go fucking hit some other shit. We go, we leave for about 45 minutes. When we come, he's at like $600.
Oh shit.
And I'm like, oh fuck, this guy's winning now. Okay, we just hit a bad streak, you know? So we wait for him to leave. He's not leaving, of course, because he's winning. So we leave again. We come back after about another 2 hours, and he's still there.
No way.
And now he's at like $980.
Wow.
And we're like, holy fuck. And we're watching him play, and he's just getting all the little bonuses and games and everything. And we're like, oh, man. So throughout the night, we were like keeping an eye on the machine, and we're like, hey, when he fucking moves, we're taking his seat. And we did. When we came back, we sat down, and he told us he was in the vicinity, and he said, hey, I stayed too long. It ended up fucking me up.
Wow.
And we said, oh, okay, buddy, whatever, you know. And he left, and we were still a bunch of vacas, and we threw more money in there. And, of course, we got nothing out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
He probably was like, ¿Y quién es este Seinfeld?
No, he was like, he was a Mexican guy, but he was not
a real Mexican.
He was not a paisón. He wasn't a paisón. He was like, he was Mexican, but could have passed for like a fat Italian guy.
Okay, okay.
So and he was sitting there drinking and playing.
He knew what was up. He knew what was up.
He knew what was up. He definitely was there for the Seinfeld machine. And and he was playing it the right way because $4.50 a spin.
Wow.
And that's why we burned through so much money so fast. I mean, you know, every spin, $4.50, $4.50, $4.50, boom. So yeah, anyways, we got our asses kicked. And
man, going back to this thing is like I gotta tell you, man, from the stuff that I saw. Okay, I don't like when they hire these old actors to replay the Soup Nazi. That Soup Nazi guy, you know, he's been known just to do that shit. And it looked like they hired him so he could do the little mini games.
Right.
And then so when you see No Soup for You, he looks like much older and they're trying to make him look like the old. I don't like that.
I mean, I'm just excited at the opportunity. Now I'm playing the game, and I see the fucking soup Nazi. And, right. You know, when you're there, the machine is big. The machine is like probably the equivalent of like a like inch TV.
Right.
And it's all touchscreen and everything, you know, so it's, that makes it cool too. But yeah, man, bottom line, we got dick bad.
And the soup Nazi is the only one who was hired to do the little mini game thing. Everybody else, it was just old clips, right?
Yeah, from what I saw, everything else was just older clips. Like nothing
clips from the show.
Clips from the show that would appear. That there was a lot of, like, I wouldn't say animated, but just like when Elaine would come out,
right?
It was her figure came out. And she was just like, get out. So I don't know how they imposed her in to do that. But all in all, it's a very cool slot machine. I recommend anyone play it to get the feel, the love of Seinfeld out of you. But you will lose your ass.
You will lose your ass.
You will lose your ass, man. But yeah, I had to put that out there, man.
Nominate yourself and win yourself.
I had to nominate and win this week's What a Vodka.
Well, with that said, as always, you can reach us at viathew.com or Vodka of the World. And you can reach my brother Art at Art the Podcaster on Twitter. And with that, and your golden trophy of What a Vodka, we say
of the W.
V of the W, this is the podcast for Monday, the 16th of April. We're going through this month already very quick. You could always reach us at vofthew.com. That's vofthew.com. You could go to our Facebook page at Vodka of the World. That's at Vodka of the World. And of course, you could always reach my brother Art at Art the Podcaster on Twitter. That's Art the Podcaster on Twitter. Thank you guys for the continuous support, listening on. There's been a few likes on our webpage as well. Thank you very much for following through and helping us out. Whenever you listen to a podcast or anything like that, shares, like, do whatever you need to do to get this going. It's very nice to see that people are interested. We have a very common listenership as well. So thank you guys for supporting. Today is going to be a podcast that is going to be quick. There's really just catching up on what we did over the weekend. Art was unable to meet up at this time, but chances are we're going to be able to meet up later on Tuesday and kind of share what's been going on. Overall, I'm very happy with visitors. Usually I'm not happy with people coming over. I don't like hanging out with people. A lot of the reasons is just the nature of my business. I do customer support. And yeah, I don't like people. I don't like hanging out with people, but yesterday I was pleasantly surprised, and not a surprise, that we were planning to have my nephew over along with his dad. And boy, is it nice to really enjoy somebody's company at times. My nephew's a very, 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 very nice guy. He's bright. He has a good sense of humor, and he always indulges me, and man, I really enjoyed it. And his dad is a great guy as well. And they spent the night. They're going to be here for a few more days, just looking at the stuff here in LA. And one of the things that I did was that I enjoy is taking people around Los Angeles and showing them the parts of LA that don't necessarily get seen through the eyes of an Angeleno. I was born in Glendale in 1973, and I've seen this area grow tenfold, and I've seen the socioeconomic change the landscape overall. And I started in Koreatown, and I was telling my my brother-in-law what has been going around. I told them how LA, in reality, and it's an unknown, really an unknown darker side of Los Angeles, has always been a very segregated, very segregated city. And we went through and we saw how it went from Koreatown to a little bit of Central America to the financial district. Then it went into the warehousing district, Skid Row, which he was surprised, of course, to see that there were streets full of tents. I mean, literally, it's like a refugee camp. And yeah, overall, we passed over the Los Angeles bridges into Boyle Heights and into East Los Angeles, and we ended up eating at the Boiling Point, which I've always tried to take Art because I know he likes soup. And the Boiling Point is a hot pot place. It's a Chinese place, and what it is, it's a bowl made out of like a little cast stone, and it has a little bit of that chafing dish fuel, you know, that little fuel that they put on chafing dishes and buffets that you just turn on, and it starts to boil this this soup. And as it boils, you could add a lot of ingredients to it so it could cook. So it's almost like shabu shabu, a little bit of Korean barbecue, where you have the opportunity to cook as something as well as you want or undercook it. I personally like my vegetables undercooked and really spicy sauce. And it was really good, as always. It's called the Boiling Point. It's in Alhambra. And we enjoyed that, enjoyed going there and watching all the cute Chinese girls and just the beautiful cars that are around in that parking lot area. And yeah, really enjoyed that time. And this Tuesday, I am looking forward to going to Musso and Frank's here on Hollywood. And my nephew is going to be treating his favorite uncle, me, and can't wait to be doing that. It's going to be the first time I've gone to Musso and Frank's. I've heard about a lot about it. Of course, it's a staple, one of the oldest restaurants in Hollywood. And it has the panache and the tradition of old Hollywood, where, you know, Bogart and all of these guys would eat. And yeah, I can't wait to go there and have myself a steak and potatoes and, oh, and just getting crazy with that. Overall, can't wait to give a little bit of insight. I'm going to be putting up pictures as well. So you could follow me on viathew.com. That's viathew.com. And again, thank you for listening. It's a short hit on the podcast. And later on today, we're going to be talking with Art, hopefully, and just give an update on what's going on. As far as everything else is concerned, there is a challenge that I will be walking. This coming Sunday, I'm going to try to do a 10K. Chances are I'm not going to be able to finish it because I'm sick. And I have been coughing, as you've heard in the podcast the last couple of weeks. But I'm still going to go and still going to try to see what I'm going to do. But I'm also going to be doing a Mommy and Me Cancer Foundation 5K race. That will be up in May 12th. And that's going to be in at Anaheim Stadium. It's a 5K Angel Stadium run. And the reason, of course, is a 5K. It's for cancer survivors And I will be putting up a link. Hopefully, if anybody wants is out there, would like to support me as far as going out and doing a walk. I don't want to be doing the fundraising. I just want to do the walking. Maybe anybody out there wants to do the race itself. I'll put the information to do the 5K, and I'll welcome you to reach out and let me know, and we could try to do it together. I am a slow walker. I've been trying to work on my pace, but with my prosthetic and all, it's kind of hard, but not impossible. I've done 5Ks before. I usually come in dead fucking last, but I finish, and I don't let that hold me back. And again, it's a good reason. Go out to Anaheim, where it's nice, Angel Stadium, where it's nicer. And yeah, I'll let anybody know. I'll put up the link there, and hopefully there's sign-ups and we could meet up. Other than that, reach us at viathew.com. That's Vaca of the World on Facebook. Reach out to my brother Art on Art the Podcaster on Twitter. And till then, I say V of the W.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.